الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم صلاة والتسليما يلقاني بمقام أمير الأنبياء وإمام المرسلين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ولي الصالحين وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وعظيمنا وحبيبنا محمدًا رسول الله خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين صل اللهم وسلم وبارك على هذا النبي الأمين وعلى آله وصحابته الغر الميمين أما بعد جماعة المسلمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير صدق الله العظيم وقال تعالى ما زاغ البصر وما طغى لقد رأى من آيات ربه الكبرى صدق الله العظيم جماعة المسلمين tonight is the 27th of Rajab 1440 and as for this event of Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj we actually do not know exactly when it happened this is one of the aqwal A more authentic qawl is that it happened in Rabi al-Awwal. But we don't know exactly with certainty, with yaqeen, exactly when it took place. Some of the ulama say approximately 1 year before the hijrah. Some even say 5 years before the hijrah. So there's difference of opinion, and that's fine. You know, when you read the aqwal of the ulama, you will always hear them saying things like, قَوْلُنَا سَوَابٌ يَحْتَمِلُ الْخَطَأ وَقَوْلُهُمْ خَطَأٌ يَحْتَمِلُ السَّوَابُ That what we are saying is right, but it could be wrong. And what they are saying is wrong, but it could be right. So especially when it comes to things like this, when we don't have adilla qat'iyya, clear-cut evidences for, then we respect all the opinions. So alhamdulillah, what we do know for sure is that it took place. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confirms in the Holy Quran, both al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. Confirmed that these two journeys, the one being the journey from Makkah al-Mukarramah, from Baytullah al-Haram in Makkah to Masjid al-Aqsa in Bayt al-Maqdis in Jerusalem. And then, عُرِجَ بِهِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ And then he ascended to the heavens, إِلَى سِدْرَةِ الْمُنْتَهَى To the furthest low tree and beyond to have his audience with جَلَّ فِي عُلَى Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what's more important And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the ulul albab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he speaks about those who reflect, وَلَا يَتَذَكَّرُ إِلَّا أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ They don't really remember, they don't really take note except those who reflect, those who look beyond. Because the word albab comes from the word lub, which means the core. So in order that we should be of ulul albab, Like when you are going to get, or you want to get to the core of the apple, you have to peel away at the exterior of the apple first to get to the core. Likewise, we have to peel away at the exterior of the narrative, of the story, in order to get to the loop, in order to get to the morals and the lessons of the story. So the first thing I would like to bring to mind is the fact that this particular event When you look at all the evidences together, it was clearly an answer to a dua of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Again, there's difference of opinion about the authenticity of the dua. The dua is correct. The meaning is 100% correct. But if that dua was made by our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then without a doubt, this Isra wal-Mi'raj was the istijaba, was the answer to that dua. لا شك ولا ريب. And it was after three very painful events took place in his life. sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we're speaking about Aam al-Huzn. We look at the name of the year in which it took place. As-Sanatul Ashira, the 10th year after he received his prophethood, after he received his nubuwa. In that 10th year, Aam al-Huzn, three very, very sad and painful things took place. Sad and painful events took place in the life of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Talib. Abu Talib, who was his hisn. What's a hisn? Like his fort. The ulama describe Abu Talib for our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who gave him that musanada, that support, that himaya, that protection. They describe him as a fort for our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not make the da'wah jahriyan. He didn't make the da'wah openly, propagating Islam openly, until he first made sure that he had the support and the protection of his uncle, Abu Talib, who he loved like a father. Because, of course, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an orphan. His father died before he was even born. And then his grandfather passed away. And then he was looked after by his uncle. So his uncle was like a father to him. And on his deathbed, it was painful for our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he wanted him to say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he did not say it. And that was a great spiritual discipline for our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because as he was trying to get him to say the kalima, the verses came down, Innaka la tahdi man ahbabt. You don't guide whom you love. Walakin Allah yahdi ma yasha. But Allah guides whom it pleases him to guide. So, not only did he lose his uncle, but he lost his uncle according to what he witnessed. He lost his uncle as a disbeliever, as somebody who did not utter the kalima shahada and enter into the fold of Islam before he left this world. How painful, how sad. Losing that hisn, losing that fort, losing that support, losing that protection. And then on top of that, a few months later, according to some scholars, about 2 months later, who did he lose? His most beloved Khadijat al-Kubra, radiyallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala, anha. There's a hadith of Sayyidah Aisha, as-siddiqatu bint as-siddiq, radiyallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala, anha. Qalat, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا ذكر خديجة أثنى عليها فأحسن الثناء. He said, whenever, this is now Aisha, رضي الله تبارك وتعالى عنها وأرضاها. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with her and with all the illustrious companions of our beloved Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. And with all the أمهات المؤمنين and with all the wives of our beloved Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. She said that when the Prophet ﷺ remembered Khadija, he would praise her and he would say the nicest things about her. قالت فغرت يوما. She said, one day became jealous. فقلت, and so I said, ما أكثر ما تذكرها حمراء الشدق. She said, how often you make mention of her, of Sayyidah Khadija. قَدْ أَبْدَلَكَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ بِهَا خَيْرًا مِنْهَا. Indeed, Allah has replaced her with somebody better than her. Who's the rawi of the hadith? Aisha. She's narrating this hadith. What are you, going on about praising Khadija? Allah has given you somebody better than Khadija. I think she was maybe referring to herself. Allahu alam. قال ما أبدن لله عز وجل خير منه. Allah has not replaced her with anybody better. قال قد آمنت بي إذ كفر بي الناس. She believed in me when the people disbelieved. وصدقتني إذ كذبني الناس. And she affirmed in what I was saying whilst everybody belied me. وواستني بمالها إذ حرمني الناس. And she gave to me of her wealth while others prohibited and prevented me from their wealth. ورزقني الله عز وجل ولدها إذ حرمني أولاد الناس أولاد النساء. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me children from her إذ حرمني أولاد النساء, when I was prevented from the children of the woman. So Sayyida Khadija radiallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala anha, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came from Gharu Hira, when he came from the cave after receiving Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, khalaq al-insana min alaq, Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram alladhi allama bil-qalam, allama al-insana ma lam ya'lam. The first five verses of the Holy Quran. And he was shivering. And he said to her, Zammiluni, Zammiluni. She was the one that was there for him. She was the one that when he doubted and when he was confused, she's the one who put his heart at ease. In all the difficult times, through all the trials and tribulations. And now she was gone. Radiallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala anha wa ardaha. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with her and grant her of the highest places in Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen ya Rabb. So he loses Abu Talib, his fort, his support, his protector. He loses his closest companion and advisor, Sayyida Khadija. And then to top it all, he then makes his trip to the town or the city of Ta'if. Now I was looking on the map, and there's actually a path in which the scholars believe this is the path that the Prophet ﷺ took. Whether he took it on a camel or on a donkey, Allahu alam. But there's a, and I went to Taif a few times. In actual fact, you can see the path that he takes right up the mountain. It's quite a steep mountain. And if you had to walk it from Makkah, it would take you 29 hours. If you had to walk it from Makkah, it would take you 29 hours. Maybe he took part of the way on a camel. And then he had to, he couldn't take the camel up the mountain, so he must have walked up the mountain. But it is quite a distance. After having walked that in the desert sun, getting to Ta'if and calling the people to La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, calling the elders, calling the leaders, not only did they reject him, but they turned the fools. Every town has its fools. Elke mense het hulle gaie. They got the fools and they got the sibyan and the children to pick up stones and to pelt our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam out of the city of Taif. There's one particular hadith that refers to this as his worst day. The worst day that our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, salawatu rabbi wasallamu alayhi, experienced. Being chased. Like people, wal-iyadu billah. Like people would chase an animal. They chased our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam out of the city of Ta'if. And our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with Zayd, they rested at a particular garden about 3 miles, it says, from the city of Ta'if. The blood running down the legs of us from Nainawa, who brought some grapes to our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in that state of sadness, in that state of hurt, in that state of feeling rejected, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jibreel alayhi salam, who then brought Malakul Jibal, brought the angel of the mountains, who said to our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that if he so wished, then by the qudra of Allah, he will bring upon the people of Ta'if the Akhshabain. Now, Al-Akhshabain, Jabalain, two mountains. Jabal Abi Qubais, Al-Akhshaban. What mountains are these? They're both in Makkah. The one is Jabal Abi Qubais and the other one is Qa'iqu'an. Those are the two, the Akhshaban. And if Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so wished, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would command Malakul Jibal to take those two mountains and crush and destroy the people of Ta'if. So what did our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? He said, La. La'alla Allah yukhrij من أصلابهم من يقول لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said no. It just might be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take out of their progeny those who will say la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. This was our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A person of afu, of forgiveness, true forgiveness. Like when the Sahaba told him one day, why don't you curse the Kuffar Quraysh? Curse them. Ask Allah to destroy them. He said, لَمْ أُبْعَثْ لَعَانًا وَإِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ رَحْمَةً اللَّهُ مَهْدِي قَوْمِي فَإِنَّمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. He said, I haven't been sent as a cursor, but I've been sent as a mercy. Oh Allah, guide my people, for they do not know. And even after all the persecution, and when Allah gave him victory, when the Sahaba entered with our beloved Prophet ﷺ into Makkah al-Mukarramah on the day of Fathu Makkah with 10,000 strong army, they could have done with the people whatever they wanted. But those that had disbelieved and persecuted him ran out saying, Ya akhun kareem wa abnu akhin kareem, madha anta fa'ilun bina? Oh, honorable brother, son of an honorable brother, what are you going to do with us? So what did our beloved Prophet ﷺ say? Aqulu lakum kama qala Yusuf li ikhwati. I say to you as Joseph, Nabi Yusuf ﷺ said to his brothers, La tathriba alaykum al-yawm, yaghfirullahu lakum wa huwa arhamar rahimin. He said, I say to you, as Nabi Yusuf said to his brothers, there is no blame on you today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive you. And he is the most merciful of those who show mercy. And that's why we saw, وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. That's why the people just came to the deen of Islam on that day. That was our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, don't destroy the people of Taif. I mean, you know, some people today, because of what happened to them, because of the state of mind, because of their loss, because of their pain, they want to take it out on somebody else. So perhaps had it been somebody else, had it not been the Prophet and Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maybe would have thought, you know, I've lost my uncle, I've lost my wife, I'm now being persecuted and being chased away by these people. Whatever revenge I can enact upon them, let me do it. But not Muhammad ibn Abdullah. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have not sent thee, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except as a mercy to all the world. But then something happened. And this is recorded in the seerah of Ibn Ishaq. Tabarani records it. Many others record it. There's difference of opinion about its authenticity. But it is a dua, subhanallah. A dua that we should all be making, especially in the days that we are living. And the ulama say this. This is a dua that we should all be making. Our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam raised his hands after being through this year of sadness, after losing his loved ones, after being rejected and persecuted. He raised up his hands and he said, Allahumma inni ashku ilayka da'fa quwwati wa qillata hilati wa hawani 'ala an-nasi ya arhamar rahimin. أنت رب المستضعفين وأنت ربي إلى من تكلني إلى بعيد يتجهمني أم إلى عدو ملكته أمري إن لم يكن بك علي غضب فلا أبالي ولكن عافيتك هي أوسع لي أعوذ بنور وجهك الذي أشرقت له الظلمات وصلح له أمر الدنيا والآخرة من أن ينزل بي غضبك أو يحل علي سخطك ولك العتبة. Then even the debate and the discussion about the sanad, not that it doesn't have its maqam, its station and its place from an academic point of view, but that these are words that are certainly in line with the words that our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke. He turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his first thing he said was, Allahumma inni ashku ilayka da'fa quwwati. Oh Allah, I complain to thee about the weakness of my strength. Ya Allah, I'm weak. Ana da'if. I complain to thee and I appeal to thee because of the weakness of my strength. Wa qillata hilati. And the lack of my stratagem. My poor planning, you know. The reason why I wasn't successful is not complain. Ya Allah, why did you allow the people to throw me out of Taif? No, he says, وَقِلَّةَ حِيلَةِ أَنَا. I complain to thee about the weakness of my strength and the lack of my stratagem of diqqah. Diqqah fi التصرف الأمور. That is what حيلة is to have precision in the arrangement of your affairs. And certainly we know our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had that diqqah. Whatever. وَقِلَّةَ حِيلَةٍ وَهَوَانِي عَلَى النَّاسِ. And my humiliation in front of the people. يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ. O most merciful of those who show mercy. أَنْتَ رَبُّ الْمُسْتَضْعَفِينَ. You are the Lord of the downtrodden. In other words, no one can be downtrodden except by the permission of Allah. As in the hadith that our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke to Ibn Abbas, يَا غُلَامُ أُعَلِّمُكَ كَلِمَاتٍ. Oh, my son, referring to him, he's his cousin, but he was a young boy at the time. He said, oh, my boy, he said, أُعَلِّمُكَ كَلِمَاتٍ, I'll teach you some words. إِحْفَظِ اللَّهَ يَحْفَظَكَ. Look after Allah's commandments, Allah will look after you. إِحْفَظِ اللَّهَ تَجِدُ تُجَاهَكَ. Look after the commandments of Allah, Allah will always be there for you. وَإِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. If you ask, ask Allah. وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. And if you seek help, seek help from Allah. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةِ لَوْ اجْتَمَعَتْ أَنْ يَنْفَعُكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَنْفَعُكَ بِشَيْءٍ إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكَ وَإِنْ اجْتَمَعُوا أَنْ يَدُرُّوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَدُرُّوكَ بِشَيْءٍ إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ رُفِّيَتْ الْأَقْلَامُ وَجَفَّتِ الصُّحُفُ. You said, I know this, that if the whole world had to come together to benefit you with something, they couldn't benefit you with anything except that which Allah had written for you. And if the whole world had to come together to harm you with something, they wouldn't be able to harm you with anything except that which Allah had decreed for you. The pens have been lifted and the pages have dried. Ya Arhamar Rahimin, Anta Rabbul Mustad'afin. O most merciful of those who show mercy. You are the Lord of the downtrodden. Wa Anta Rabbi. And you are my Lord. Meaning what has ever happened now in Taif, or before that, me losing my beloved wife, my comfort, or me losing my uncle, my fort, my protector, my support, is only by your decree. أَنْتَ رَبُّ الْمُسْتَضْعَفِينَ وَأَنْتَ رَبِّي إِلَى مَنْ تَكِلُنِي. To whom are you going to surrender my affair? You know, subhanAllah, it's like if we look at the condition of the Muslimin today, I would say we are at least a third of the world's population, the Muslimin. Those that say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But where's our fort? Where's our support? Where's our leaders? Or our leader? Where's our Khalifa? You know, when you go through the history of Islam, through after our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam left this world, and we had the Khulafa Rashideen, then you had the Dawla Bani Umayya and Dawla Abbasiyya, and you had Al-Seljuqiyya and Ayyubiyya, and you had Al-Mamlukiyya, and you had Al-Uthmaniyya. Subhanallah, great Islamic empires that ruled bima anzalallah, that ruled by that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed. Recently in the news, one of the smallest countries in the world. In fact, the size, they said the size of Delaware. I don't know how big Delaware is in America. The country of Brunei. Little island. Oh, it's attached to the peninsula? No, it's an island on its own? An island! The size of Delaware in America. Recently wanted to start re-implementing certain of the hudud, certain of the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran for things like adultery and fornication and homosexuality, etc., etc., based on the Sharia as a deterrent for people to engage in these acts. فقامت الدنيا. And the whole world has now stood up and started making noise and criticizing the United Nations. And they speak about this as barbaric. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. This is how far the world has gone. That when we actually speak about our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the laws that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designed for mankind, then they say words like barbaric. But what the Israelis did in Gaza over the last four wars, that wasn't barbaric. Or what the Serbs did to the Bosnians, you know, that wasn't barbaric. And the UN was standing by and looking on. So this is the situation that we find ourselves in today. If you look at the situation of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that time, and you look at our situation today, what did the Prophet say? Yushiku أن تتداعى عليكم الأمم كما تتداعى الأكلة إلى قصعتها قيل أو من قلة نحن يومئذ يا رسول الله قال بل أنتم يومئذ كثير ولكنكم غثاء كغثاء السيل ينزع الله الرعب من قلوب أعدائكم ويلقي في قلوبكم الوهن قال وما الوهن يا رسول الله فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم حب الدنيا وكراهية الموت. Our beloved Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that there will come a time when the nations of the world will be feeding on you, feasting on you, praying on you, P-R-E-Y-I-N-G, not P-R-A-Y-I-N-G. They'll be feasting off you, like the eaters at a feast of one plate of food. Palestine, Iraq, Yemen, wherever else so much dissension and disunity has been caused by internal and external forces, by internal and external forces. قِيلَ أَوَمَنْ قِلَّةٍ نَحْنُ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. They said, is it because of our small numbers on that day, O Messenger of Allah? He said, no. And on that day you'll be many, but you'll be like the foam of a flood water. You know, when the flood comes through the desert, through the wadi, it picks up all the debris. And it's a lot of debris. But it's light, and it just gets pushed wherever the water goes. In the other riwayat, the hadith, كَغُثَاءِ الْبَحَرِ. Just go to a sea point and look into Table Bay on a day when the southeaster is blowing, and you will see غثاء البحر, the foam of the waves. Lot of foam, but that foam has no strength. It just gets pushed wherever the water goes. He says you will be like that foam. And Allah will remove the fear of you from the hearts of your enemies, and He will put into your hearts wahan. They said, what is wahan, O Messenger of Allah? He said, the love of the dunya, the paisa, the fulus, the miran, the khayal, wa karahiyatul maut, and the hatred and dislike of death. So this is the situation that we are in today, Jamaat al-Muslimin. We don't have our qala'a, we don't have our hisn, we don't have our fort, we don't have our support, we don't have clear leadership. I'm speaking on a global scale now. And we are like that foam of the flood water, just getting pushed wherever they want us to go. So our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's making this dua, and this is the dua that we should all be making. Ya arhamar rahimin, anta rabbul mustad'afin wa anta rabbi. Ila man takiluni? To whom are you going to surrender my affair? To whom are you going to surrender my affair? Ila ba'idin yatajahhamuni? To a stranger who would ignore me and neglect me? Am ila aduwin mallaktahu amri? Or to an enemy who would control me? Listen to what he says next. إِلَّمْ يَكُنْ بِكَ عَلَيَّ غَدَبٌ فَلَا أُبَالِي. As long as you, Ya Allah, are not angry with me, it doesn't matter. It doesn't concern me. As long as you are not displeased with me, then it doesn't matter to me into whose hands you surrender my affair. إِلَّمْ يَكُنْ بِكَ عَلَيَّ غَدَبٌ فَلَا أُبَالِي. وَلَكِنَّ عَافِيَتَكَ هِيَ أَوْسَعُ لِي. Because why? Because your blessings, your afia, your mercy, your generosity is far more expansive to me than all of this trouble that I am in, than all of this pain and the sorrow that I am feeling. Your afia, your blessings, your rahmah, your mercy is far more greater for me. Listen to what he says next. He says, أعوذ بنور وجهك الذي أشرقت له الظلمات. He says, I seek refuge. أعوذ بنور وجهك. I seek refuge in the light of your face. I'm translating directly. When we speak about, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, وَلَا يَبَقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ وَلَا يَبَقَى اللهم صلى الله عليه وسلم محمد كل من عليها فان ويبقى وجه ربك ذو الجلال والإكرام. كل من عليها فان. Everyone will perish. Everyone will perish. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings this creation to an end. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rolls up the heavens like a scroll. كَمَا بَدَأْنَا أَوَّلَ خَلْقٍ نُعِيدُ. Just like we began the creation for the first time, we'll return it to its point of origin and recreate it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring everything to an end. Everyone will perish and everything will perish. كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكٌ إِلَّا وَجْهَهُ كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانٌ وَيَبَقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. And everything will perish and only Allah's face, meaning Allah's essence, will remain. Everyone will perish and only Allah's face, meaning Allah's essence, will remain. Only Allah will remain. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word wajh in the Qur'an. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْءٌ غَيْرَهُ. Allah was and there was nothing besides Him. So when Allah brings the creation to an end, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remain. So use the word wajh, which literally is translated as face. But we don't... Yes, we attribute to Allah whatever He attributes to Himself, but without any comparison, without any likeness. Why? Because لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Because nothing can be likened unto Allah, and He is all-hearing and all-seeing. So listen how the Prophet is using the word face in this verse. He says, أَعُوذُ بِنُورِ وَجِّكَ الَّذِي أَشْرَقَتْ لَهُ الظُّلُمَاتِ. I seek refuge in the light of your face, meaning your essence. I seek refuge in the light of your essence. That light which has illuminated and driven away the darknesses. أَشْرَقَتْ لَهُ الظُّلُمَاتِ. وَصَّلَحَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. And which all affairs are corrected in this life and in the next. مِنْ أَنْ يَنْزِلَ بِيَ غَدَبُكَ. I seek refuge in this light of your essence. مِنْ أَنْ يَنْزِلَ بِيَ غَدَبُكَ. That you should be displeased with me in any way. That's خلاص. Doesn't matter what's happened now. I've, in this weak state, my poor planning, my weakness of strength, my loss of support, the non-existence of those who protected me before, خلاص. Whatever situation I'm in, Ya Allah, as long as you are not angry with me. مِنْ أَنْ يَنْزَلَ بِيَ غَدَبُكَ أَوْ يَحُلَّ عَلَيَ سَقَتُكَ وَلَكَ الْعُتْبَ حَتَّى تَرْضَى. And the matter is with you, Ya Allah, until you are pleased. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِكَ. And there is no power or might except that which belongeth to thee. Not too long after that, Jamaat al-Muslimin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the Isra wal-Mi'raj. And after taking him from Baytullah al-Haram in Makkah al-Mukarramah to Masjid al-Aqsa fi Bayt al-Maqdis, linuriyahu, ara yuri ira'atan, in order that we might show him. There's a difference between ra'a and ara. Ra'a means to see. Ara means to be shown. And I didn't translate the verses in the beginning. We know these verses. These verses are repeated every year on the same occasion, about the same event, about the same story. But let's just look at the verse. Subhana alladhi asra bi'abdi. That's the first thing. Glory be to He, asra bi'abdi, who took His servant on the night journey. Our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he never, you know, grabbed the buraq and started it up and off he went. No. Allah took him on the buraq on this night journey. From Makkah to Bayt al-Maqdis, min al-Madina, of our signs. Why? Because on the dunya. So there is still an element of restriction in terms of what one can see when one is on the dunya. So because one cannot see on the dunya, one needs to be shown. لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا. إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Indeed, He is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. Then we look at Surah Al-Najm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Mi'raj. مَا زَاغَ الْبَصْرُ وَمَا تَغَى. When He went beyond the low tree, Jibreel had to stay behind. He went beyond. وَلَقَدَ رَآ مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِ الْكُبْرَى. Here, not أَرَى لِنُرِيَهُ, رَآ هُوَ. And he saw, he wasn't shown, he saw of the greatest signs of his Lord, Jalla Fi'ula. What did he see? What did he see? Did he see Allah? Sayyidina Aisha says, whoever says that he saw Allah has indeed told a lie. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا تدركه الأبصار. The eyes perceive him not. وَهُوَ يُدْرِكُ الْأَبْصَارِ. But he perceives all the eyes. وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. And he is the all subtle, the most well-informed, Jalla Fi'ula. So what did he see then? According to the hadith of Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, radiallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala, when he asked the Prophet, هَلْ رَأَيْتَ رَبَّكَ. Did you see your Lord? So our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he answered, نُورٌ أَنَّا أَرَى. نُورٌ أَنَّا أَرَى. وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ رَأَيْتُ نُورًا. In the one narration, I saw light. In the other narration, he said, نُورٌ, light, أَنَّا أَرَى. It's a question, أَنَّا. Like Zakaria, when he entered the chamber of Maryam. He said, يَا مَرْيَمُ أَنَّا لَكِ هَذَا. Oh Mary, where did you get this from? Where did you get this food from? Fruit out of season. Anna laki hadha. That's what anna means. So in the hadith, the Prophet says, Nurun anna ara, meaning I saw light. Anna ara. However, how else am I was I supposed to see? What else was I supposed to see, in other words? How was I supposed to see Allah? And that's why Ibn Abbas, he was the only one that says that the Prophet saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but not with his eyes, with his heart. And that something, you know, is left up to interpretation, but at the end of the day, it means the same thing. But Allah took him into the light. And what is light? What is light? In the hadith of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, hijabuhu nur. The veil of Allah is light. Allah uses light to veil himself from his creation. In the riwayah of Abi Bakr, حِجَابُهُ النَّارِ, that his veil is fire. Because like Abi Musa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the fire, but the ulama are very specific. They say, it to rhyme, you know, إِشْرَاق, illumination, بِلَا إِحْرَاق, without incineration. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never ever speak to anybody of mankind. وَمَا كَانَ لِبَشَرٍ أَن يُكَلِّمَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا وَحْيًا أَوْ مِنْ وَرَاءِ حِجَابٍ. That's in Surah Al-Shu'ara. Where Allah SWT says, and it is not for any human being that Allah should speak to him except by revelation or from behind a partition, أو يُرْسِلُ رَسُولًا, or send a messenger like Jibreel عليه السلام. So just like the fire was a hijab for Nabi Musa alayhi salam. Nabi Musa couldn't see. He was the one who asked Allah. Arini. Andhuru ilayk. Let me look at you, Ya Allah. What did Allah say to him? Lan tarani. Because in the dunya, in the life of this world, we cannot see Allah. Yes, in the akhirah, wujuhu yawma idhin nadhira. Ila rabbiha nadhira. We're all looking forward to that day. When the faces are illuminated, looking towards their Lord. May Allah make us of them. Ameen. And the people of Jannah, may Allah make us of them. Enter Jannah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask them, Araditum, are you happy? And we will say, Kayfala, may Allah make us of them. Ameen. We will say, Kayfala narda wa qad a'taytana kulla shay. How can we not be pleased and you've given us everything? And then Allah will remove the veils of light. The veil of light. Hijabuhu nur. His veil is light. He will remove those veils between us and him. And then the Prophet says, فَتَرَوْنَ رَبَّكُمْ كَمَا تَرَوْنَ الْقَمَرَ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْبَدْرِ. And then you will see your Lord like you see the moon on the night when it is full. So in the Akhirah, guaranteed, inshallah ta'ala, if we are the people of Jannah, we'll be granted that ru'ya. And there's nothing better than that, to cast our gaze upon the divine, upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in the life of this world, لَن تَرَانِي. Whether it was on Mount Sinai, as it is narrated, or whether it was beyond the lote tree, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered that dua by granting him the refuge that he sought in the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's essence. And that was the audience that he had with Allah, and is then and there where Allah gave him a new fort. Listen to what I'm telling you today. Allah gave him a new support. Allah gave him a new protection. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our protector. And that's why when we say La ilaha illallah, that doesn't just mean there's no God except Allah. La ma'budu bihaqqin illallah. That there's none worthy of worship besides Allah. That is the foundation of Tawheed. Only the foundation. But there's many other layers that go on top of that. It's to believe that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah, yes. It's to believe that there is no creator besides Allah, no sustainer besides Allah, no protector besides Allah, no guide besides Allah, no helper besides Allah, no comforter besides Allah, no elevator besides Allah, no humiliator besides Allah. In His hands lie the affairs of everyone and everything. وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. But Allah has created for us asbab. Just like He gave asbab to our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Talib was a sabab. Khadija was a sabab. And when He took them away, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replace? And then He sent him on this mission to Taif, where he was exposed, where he was humiliated. And at that low point that he felt for himself in his life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him on this journey and replaced it with a new fort. And what is that fort? The fort of Salah. The fort of Salah. That five times a day that we make Salah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is our connection with Allah. But not just individually, especially for us men, to come and make it where? In the masjid. And to stand shoulder to shoulder. Al-mu'min lil-mu'min kal-bunyan yashudduhu ba'duhu ba'da. One believer to the other is like a supported structure, like a brick wall. Yashudduhu ba'duhu ba'da. The one brick supporting the other brick. For the lack of a better translation. The one brick supporting the other brick. يَشُدُّهُ بَعْضُهُ بَعْضًا. So we come to the masjid and we stand in our sufuf like brick walls, shoulder to shoulder, not leaving any gaps, lest the shaitan should come in between. Because dissension and disunity, Jamaat al-Muslimin, is how this fort has cracked. And some of the parts of our fort have even fallen down. And that is why we are no longer protected from our enemies. Because of us. And if you look at one of the things that our beloved Prophet Muhammad saw as he was going up to Al-Sidrat al-Muntaha, to the low tree, what was one of the things he saw? This particular hadith, marfu'an, عن أنس بن مالك narrated by أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لما عرج بربي عز وجل مررت بقوم لهم أظافر من نحاس يغمشون وجوههم وصدورهم فقلت من هؤلاء يا جبريل فقال هؤلاء الذين يأكلون لحوم الناس ويقعون في أعراضهم. He said that on the night when I was ascended, my Lord ascended me to the Sama, I came past a people that had nails of copper, and they were tearing the flesh off their faces and off their chests. I said, who are they, O Jibreel? So Jibreel answered, they are those who eat the flesh of people and dishonor them. So he goes and receives the salah, and he brings back the salah, this sila, because that's where the word comes from. Sila means connection. The most important, the imaduddin, as-salah imaduddin, man aqama faqad aqama din, wa man taraka faqad hadama din. Salah is the main pillar of this deen of Islam, like the middle pole of a tent with five poles. The middle one is salah. Whoever establishes it has established their deen, and whoever leaves it has destroyed their deen. Sheikh Ibrahim Gabriel always makes mention of this hadith at the end of most of his talks. Beautiful hadith, very important hadith. Man laqiya rabba, or man laqiya allaha, wa huwa mudi'un lis-salah, lam yaqba Allahu min hasanati ma kana mudi'an lis-salah. Whoever meets Allah on the day of judgment and they have neglected their salah, then Allah won't consider any of their good deeds as long as they've been neglecting their salah. So the most important aspect of our ibadah, and like all ibadat, in order that we should hone and develop and strive for perfection in our model code of character. Our beloved Prophet said, إِنَّمَا بُعِسْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ أَخْلَاقِ إِنَّمَا بُعِسْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. He said, I have not been sent except to perfect the model code of character. So whether it is salah, whether it is zakah, whether it is siyam, whether it is hajj and umrah, it is all about us perfecting our model code of character. So how can we, mashallah, we are striving for perfection in this salah, this new fort that Allah has granted us. But at the same time, what are we doing? We are backbiting, and we are envying, and we are cheating, and we are defrauding, and we are lying, and we are betraying. And this is the condition of the ummah today, Jamaatul Muslimin. If we want to get that fort back, that indestructible fort, then we have to have the salah with the ukhuwah. We have to have the salah with the brotherhood, with the love that we must have for each other, loving for each other what we love for ourselves. La yu'minu. The Prophet said, you don't have faith until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. Then you're going to see, inshallah ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to change our condition. And He's going to protect us from our enemies. And He's going to grant us victory over our enemies. And He's going to give us that same izzah. He's going to restore our dignity like He gave it to the companions of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Never forget the story of Abu Darda on the day when the Muslimin defeated the Kuffar on one of the islands of the Mediterranean, either Rhodes or Malta, one of those islands. And Abu Darda was sitting and he was crying. One of the Sahaba came to him, Ya Abu Darda, Tabki Yawm al-Nasr? Oh Abu Darda, are you crying on the day of victory? Everybody's celebrating and you're sitting here crying? You know what he said? He said, Abki li hali ha'ulla an-nas. He said, I'm crying for the condition of those people. And who did he point to? He pointed to the Kuffar, the disbelievers who had just been defeated. He said, Lamma asullaha makkanana Allahu min riqabin fantasarna alayhim. He said, when they disobeyed Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthened us and granted us victory over them. فَأَخْشَىٰ أَيَأْتِي لَوْمُ الَّذِي نَأْسِ اللَّهَ فِيهِ فَيُمَكِّنُهُمَ اللَّهُ مِنْ رِقَابِنَا فَيَنْتَصِرُونَ عَلَيْنَا. So I fear the day when we shall disobey Allah and then Allah will strengthen them and grant them victory over us. Let us return back to that thought of looking after our salah as we do when we come to the masjid, standing shoulder to shoulder, loving each other for the sake of Allah, loving for each other what we love for ourselves, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loving us for loving each other for His sake. And returning that, restoring that unity to this ummah. So that bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, because this was a preparation for what? For the hijrah. This Isra wal Mi'raj was a preparation for setting up the dawla. Was setting up the first city of Islam that was to become an empire of faith that continues to spread today. And that is the most important aspect of this empire. It's not about the borders. It's not about conquering armies or conquering walls. It's about conquering hearts. And if we must reunite and we must revive our responsibility as the ambassadors of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we'll be able to take it successfully to those who don't even know about it. Or to those who are completely confused about it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use us for the guidance of mankind. ليهدي الله بك رجلا واحدا خير لك مما طلعت عليه الشمس. For one person to be guided at your hands, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, is better than everything that the sun rises on in the morning. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala restore us to that muhimma, that great concern of us being the ambassadors of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So let us not lose hope. Let us not become despondent. let us not despair. But let us turn to Allah. ما يأبأ بكم ربي لولا دعاؤكم. قل. Say to them, O Muhammad, that your Lord would not even consider you if it wasn't for the fact that you were asking Him. Allah wants us to turn to Him. Allah wants us to ask Him. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا أَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمِينَ أَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ إِنَّمَا يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ لِيَوْمٍ تَشْخَصُ فِيهِ الْأَبْصَارُ. Don't think for one second that Allah is unaware of what the oppressors are doing. He's only delaying their punishment. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ مُخْلِفَ وَعْدِهِ رُسُلَهُ. Don't think for one second that Allah will ever break His promise to His messengers. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفْرُوا مُعْجِزِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Do not think for one second Allah just allows the kuffar just to do whatever they want in this world. These trials and tribulations, we have brought them upon ourselves. And the moment that we are going to wake up, using this beautiful gift of salah to bring us together with love and care and compassion and mercy for one another, then you're going to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to change our condition. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah will not change the condition of a people until which acts as a hasan, as a fort, a protection, not only for ourselves individuals, but for us as an ummah, the ummah of Muhammad. خير الأنام صلوات ربي وسلام عليه وآخر دعوانا عن الحمد لله رب العالمين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.